find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Americans are enthusiastic about the election. Early voting records are being shattered. Brad Raffensperger is Georgia's Secretary of State.
This is proof in Georgia. It's easy to vote and hard to cheat.
Donald Trump is in Georgia campaigning, where he said it should be too big to rig.
I've been investigated more than Scarface. My father's looking down from heaven. I think my father's in heaven. I know my mother's in heaven.
Turkey has hit Kurdish targets in northern Iraq after a deadly attack on one of its defense companies. At the White House, John Kirby said the U.S. is monitoring.
Turkish authorities, as they said, are investigating this as a possible terrorist attack. And while we don't yet know the motive or who is exactly behind it, we strongly condemn this act of violence.
Five people were killed. The company's drones have been instrumental in Turkey's fight against Kurdish militants. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We're down to the last 2 weeks to the presidential election. Democratic running mate Tim Walz in Madison yesterday needled Donald Trump for canceling interviews.
I don't care how exhausted he is, because I can promise you he's not as exhausted as the American people are of him.
Early voting is underway. Former President Barack Obama urged the Walz rally to take action.
Do not sit back and hope for the best. Do not think this is a distraction or a joke.
The two warned that a second Trump administration with no guardrails would have dangerous consequences. A fire has shut down a Jefferson County ethanol plant. Officials at the Ostalon Bio plant say the fire started Monday in one of the facility's dryers. Ostalon Bio calls itself Wisconsin's largest ethanol producer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Dry weather means dry skin, and for some, this time of year can cause eczema to flare up. Abigail Tao is an MD and dermatologist with Aspyris.
So it presents with dry, itchy, scaly, rashy skin.
It affects between 2 to 10% of adults, but as many as 30% of children. Kids usually grow out of it, but may continue to have sensitive skin throughout their lives.
A lot of kids by age 1 will start to grow out of their eczema.
If your symptoms persist or worsen, it's important to consult a dermatologist. Dr. Tao said there are a lot more treatment options than there were a few years ago. Good dry skincare is the best treatment.
We want people taking lukewarm baths or showers. We want them only washing the dirty areas, so armpits, groin, buttocks.
Tao said the rest of the body doesn't get dirty enough for soap. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Romeo Dobbs leads the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers are back at practice getting ready to face the Jaguars. Wide receiver Romeo Dobbs led the team with 8 receptions against the Texans, including 2 on that game-winning drive.
The clock wasn't at 0, and I mean, it was key plays to the drive. I had some catches. Tucker had one coming just right beside the ticks. Wicks being Wicks, making the first guy miss, getting extra yards. So it was definitely a team game.
The NBA season opened tonight for the Bucks as they play the 76ers in Philadelphia. Doc Rivers asked, when did they know that Chris Middleton would likely miss tonight's game?
This week it became more expected. I thought before this week there was a pretty good chance he may make it because he's moving great, but we just haven't had enough live activity for him.
The 76ers will be without Joel Embiid and Paul George. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, low 30s. Clouds return tomorrow, high to the mid-60s. In the late afternoon and evening, showers and storms around. Sunny and upper 50s Friday and Saturday. Highs warm to the low 60s Sunday, mostly sunny. It's 55 right now.
This.
Take 2. Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's start the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Boy, this song just hits different during hockey season. It just hits different.
Well, especially if they're scoring goals.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It immediately puts me in a good mood, too, which is good for you guys out there. And what's better for you is the phone lines are open, everybody. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation anytime you want. We know we weren't able to talk with you on Monday, so we appreciate that you guys hung out with us. And sure, you got those sports takes and feelings waiting from over the weekend. Get them to us. Your host, James, here, joined by our good friend, Michael Comer. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Hey, no problem. Always enjoy coming in on a Wednesday and visiting.
Want to say a big thank you to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Go to A Street South and go for there for all your printing needs. We're going to cover some World Series talk. We've had some coaching changes, NFL trades, all of that going on. Definitely want to get into high school sports with you, Michael. We'll get into that at 5:30 when we get back from break. We want to take a call here. Kev, is that you?
Well, how do you know?
I thought so.
Get a lottery ticket.
I was kind of hoping it was you too, man, because I want to start the show right here, you guys. And I don't mean to interrupt whatever you might have, Kevin, but I've got one of, I believe that this could go down as one of the top five calls in college football history. This could be one of the better lines or calls you hear going up there with some of the greats. I'm just going to play this really quick for everybody. It's so good. It's so good. I know it was really low. It's the best. It was the only audio I could find of it. But it was during the Pittsburgh-Maryland game, and the announcer just just so blunt. Just, oh, no, disaster. Why, what a horrible idea. It was great. If you get a chance, look it up. It is really good.
I'm going to try to use that with Randy.
It's so good. It's so good. Kevin, where'd you want to start, man?
Well, there's so many places I want to start, And I know Michael. He follows all kinds of sports, and I just have to laugh at Vegas when it comes to college sports. Okay, so we've had this. We had some, you know, cooler talk this week at work on some of these spreads. I mean, obviously, when it comes to NFL, they do pretty good.
But
I do not understand. When it comes to college sports and how off, and, you know, if I had the extra money, and I am a little bit of a betting man, there's some of these spreads that they have in the college football games weekend is crazy. And I start real quick with Wisconsin Penn State. Now, yes, Wisconsin has played well the last 3 weeks. Penn State is, you know, they're number three in the country. But they've had to fight for this a little bit, and I get this. But they have it at 6.5.
Yeah. I was just looking at that. Yeah. Now they're talking about it.
To me, whenever we're talking about any of this stuff, I have rounding through my head over and over again something that my uncle said to me when I was a kid, and my uncle happened to work on the other side of the tracks for the family. We'll say the house always wins, Jimmy. No matter what, the house always wins. And when it comes to some of these money lines or whatever, there's definitely a reason for it. There's a reason to make sure that you feel good about the bet, but the house still wins. It's always going to come back to that. I also don't think that they're really caught up on some of this stuff right now. The gambling industry was a star overnight. In some ways,
yeah,
a lot of people in the industry, from what I have heard, did not expect the inrush of gambling to happen when things got, quote, you know, so much more opened up in so many more of our states.
Right.
And I don't think that they necessarily have a lot of the people to really research some of this stuff. When you think about what it's like, I walk into this job sometimes and I'm like, my God, we've got four major sports to cover, and not just those sports, but college, high school, all these things, and we get 3 hours a week to do it. What do I fit in? What do I cut out? And all of that. I can't imagine for these researchers and the people making these lines, or even to throw in the information into an algorithm, all the different information you've got to know and all the different places you've got to go to find out about horse racing in Dubai or something like that.
Right.
I'm not at all making excuses for them or anything, but I do think that there's a lot of this that they're trying, like a lot of things in society, they're trying to catch up to it. The tech moved faster than we were able to.
Yes. I would agree with you on that.
Well, I mean, I totally 100% agree with you. I mean, the way they, you know, and you and I, James, have had discussions about all this analytics stuff. And sometimes I just want to throw the analytics out the door, because to me personally, I think the analytics, especially when it comes to baseball, it has hurt baseball. And as you see with Murph this year, how much of the analytics did he really use?
Yeah,
to get the Brewers to where they were. I don't think he used it, but there's times that I think he used it, and those were the games that they lost. When he just went with his heart, there's times that they pulled it out. But, you know, here's another one that it just floors me. They have Illinois, number 20 in the country, against number one Oregon. And Oregon, and they're at home, they are favored by 21.5.
Yeah, yeah. That one's a little ridiculous to me. But I also understand, you know, the over-unders, some of that, you know, trying to literally hedge their bets when it comes to that, as far as people making those bets and everything. And certainly, you see a number like that as a gambler, and you're jiving on that. You're diving on that one direction or the other, which stands out better than a 14-point favorite or something like that, or something obscene like a 28. I don't know. I don't understand this stuff that well. I'll be completely honest. It's not my wheelhouse or anything. But, I come back to the house always wins. And that anything that we're talking about here, all your answers, every one of your answers involve money. That's for sure, and in some way for them to be able to make more than you, that's just how it works.
Yeah, but even with the money thing of it, you know, I just laugh at sometimes when you see these numbers that, you know, that they have the numbers to where they're at. You know,
yeah.
How can you say that Oregon is going to be a 3-touchdown favorite when Illinois has actually been playing pretty good football this year? And, you know, Bielema's got them. I mean, as much as I hate to say this, Bielema's got them playing.
Oh, yeah.
And for them, you know, it's just funny seeing some of these numbers and how they come across on these, especially when you get, I mean, here's another one where I kind of have to laugh, is that I'm just kind of scrolling through here, is Texas is 19-point favorite over Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about that with the way Vandy took care of Bama.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and with the way Georgia took care of Texas, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know how that makes sense either. But, I wonder how much of this is done by computers, too. And if I'm a computer and looking at this, well, all I'm seeing is numbers, and zeros and ones. So they're not going to put any of the human element into this, which comes back to what you were talking about as far as analytics. And, I think the majority of us as fans – will take a coach's gut over a computer's numbers any day.
Well, and yeah, I mean, when it comes to football, though, where does the analytics come in? You know, you see that on ESPN, they'll bring it up.
Fourth and one.
What's that?
Fourth and one has changed football, like analytics have changed baseball.
Yeah, fourth and one, depending on the position of the field and like that.
It's a completely different world now than what we grew up in football. And I think one of the biggest changes in football that doesn't get talked about nearly enough is fourth and one. That how different that is. It used to be, I don't care if it was fourth in inches, you wouldn't see a coach go for it. They punting that ball. You saw it so rare growing up and everything. And even in recent years and stuff, Bill Belichick took a beating for it a little while, what was it, 5-7 years ago or whatever, for going on a fourth and one in a regular season game and everything. Or fourth and short it was, and not making it.
Yep.
The great Bill Belichick didn't get it and stuff. Well, he talked about analytics in his answer to that, and here we are now where it's nothing. You're almost disappointed if your coach doesn't go forward and fourth and one.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That's a very different world. It's no longer three down football. We're playing four down football now. And especially if you look at what the kicking game is now, where that's just, you want to talk about gambling. Like, that's true gambling. You can talk about all the, you know, numbers and highs and lows and who's favored over who by point spreads or anything. True gambling is just being an NFL fan and having a kicker, giving you an opportunity for a win or heartache for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I know the fourth and ones, I guess I'm probably, because I'm going to have to say I'm old school on a little bit of that, but with the way things are, you got that tush-push and all that stuff going on now when you get, you get some of those bigger guys in the middle and pushing your quarterback to get that. I mean, the analytics, if you want to go by the analytics, and, obviously the Badgers haven't done it because they got stoned on 2 fourth-and-ones back in, you know, a couple of games ago when they decided to go from shotgun instead of, you know, get up under center. But now you're kind of starting to see that now with the Badgers the last couple of weeks. They're actually, he's actually going under center now.
Yeah.
A little bit more. So, but I would still, if I, you know, obviously if you're, you know, your kicking game's not the best and you're on the opponent's other side, but you're kind of on that borderline of a 45-to-50-yard field goal, and your kicker hasn't been very good. Yeah, I might go for it, you know, just because if I miss the field goal, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
So I might try to go for that a little bit more, knowing that if my kicker is not the best, you know.
Talking about kicking, the newer addition to Green Bay, getting a game-winning field goal, being McManus recently. And you don't get to see kickers doing the Lambeau leap very often. That was great. I'm curious.
Well, he had a little help to get up there.
Yeah.
So we didn't quite make it.
We're talking a little bit about these. And for those that have not heard, Robert Saleh has joined Matt LaFleur's coaching staff in a fluid role, they're calling it. Not specific about what he will be doing, but you bring in a great defensive mind like that, that all he has to do is focus on linebackers or defensive linemen or situational football. Doesn't seem like a bad idea to me. And you know, I don't know why, but you know this hits Aaron Rodgers in right in the ears. And that's got to feel, that's always nice to be able to do from here to New Jersey. It's like, doesn't hurt.
Right.
But with that, I actually want to go in just real quick direction. So I've seen a lot of people saying that the Illinois uniforms this weekend were horrible, and I don't disagree. But can we take a second to credit the helmets?
Those were cool. Took like 2 hours to paint each one.
Those helmets were wicked, man. Those were pretty cool helmets, I thought. And I don't know. I kind of thought the Green Bay uniforms this weekend were all right. I thought they looked kind of cool.
I didn't mind them. I didn't really hear anyone in the stadium complaining about
it. I would like to see them, though. Oh, really? Good, because I didn't hear much feedback on if people liked them or not. I dug it. I kind of would like to see them in the winter, though. I'd love to see them during a snow game.
I don't think they can do that.
Yeah?
I really don't think they can do that.
That'd be cool.
I mean, watching the game from my seats at Lambeau, I thought it looked really cool. It kind of reminded me a little bit of some of the... I wasn't a fan of the color rush where Green Bay was wearing all white.
Yeah.
And with their normal yellow helmet.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of that. Or when they've done the preseason game when it was so ungodly hot against Baltimore and they wore their visiting white jerseys and made Baltimore wear the blacks. Okay. That's fine. I guess I can live with it because it's a preseason game.
Yeah.
But, excuse me, this was pretty cool to see the whole white, when it's 70-some, 80-some degrees.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, as far as some of the fans probably shouldn't have been wearing some of the white they were wearing, it just did not look good.
It's one of those things that it's a national tragedy sometimes.
Right. I mean, I wore my traditional gray T-shirt because that's as close as I'm going to get to wearing white. And, you know, a big man like me that tailgates and eats, well, I'm not going to be white for long. So.
Right.
But it was pretty cool.
Kev, what did you think of those?
I thought it was pretty cool, but I really did dig the Illinois helmets. Still, I mean, if I could get a chance to buy a helmet, buy one of those helmets.
Yeah.
They were so cool.
I would absolutely. I would not only have it, I would have it around me all the time. I'd have it in my car. I'd bring it with me everywhere. That was a great helmet. So with the addition of Robert Saleh, that was an interesting one. I thought the Brewers making some moves with their hitting positions, bringing in a new promoting some people to the lead hitting coach and everything. Some interesting news there. And locally, we have a new assistant general manager with our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Jake Adams is coming to the organization, and we congratulate Jake and welcome him to town. We'll talk, of course, as we get closer to baseball season with Jake and get to know him, and looking forward to another great season of Rafters baseball. But with all of these signings, Kevin, before we let you go, anything stand out to you there? Anything you're excited about? Or, hey, business as usual, that's cool, bring him on, but we got business, you know, it's just full speed ahead.
Well, I would have to probably look at Kansas City, what they did with their signing today.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Bringing Hopkins, yeah.
Yeah.
It's obviously showing, I mean, Kansas City's won two in a row. I mean, they've done their due diligence of getting championships. They're all in for number three.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring in, obviously, you know, all the injuries they have. I'm hoping that maybe Green Bay does maybe take a look at Oh, shoot. I just had it in my head from the guy from the Browns.
I know who you're talking about.
There's been several from the Browns. So offensive, defensive?
Yeah.
Defense.
Miles Garrett?
You're gonna talk in multiple picks. I don't think that they're gonna. Miles Garrett's the only thing that franchise has as a face right now. Not just one number one. I think it might involve not multiple number one picks, but multiple picks. At the same time, we keep seeing trades for guys, and I don't know who these hustlers are, but getting like fourth and fifth rounders for some of these players that you know are going to be difference makers. Certain receivers certainly don't age that well. But when you're looking at a DeAndre Hopkins or a Keenan Allen or some of these guys, I studied and watched wide receivers my whole life. And the guys that age better are always the guys that grab the ball and rip it out of the sky.
He's one of them.
He is so one of them. I can make the argument, I think, that DeAndre Hopkins deserves half that contract from Deshaun Watson. That's the only reason that guy got that contract. He's one of my favorite receivers to watch. Julio Jones, guys like that. These guys that they rip the ball out of the sky. Him and Mahomes, that is going to be a nice matchup. I'm not saying that wins you a Super Bowl, but it's a nice addition. And if anything, some leadership in that wide receiver locker room that they could really use.
I think the bigger thing there is it's going to open up the game for Kelsey because he's been a non-entity this year.
Great point.
Personally, Kansas, and we can go on a tangent about Kansas City. I'll try to avoid that. Kansas City is in a spot to where they can do something that hasn't been done since the Packers, I believe, in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's something, and people say the Packers never won three. I'm like, yeah, they won what? They won one World Championship in the first two Super Bowls. Yeah, they've done it.
Absolutely.
But the thing with Kansas City I'm looking at is, and I'm not taking a slight at Mahomes because he's probably the best quarterback in the game right now, but look at his numbers.
They're horrible.
He's got eight touchdowns to six interceptions. Whereas Jordan Love, he's got 14 touchdowns to six interceptions. And all you hear is Jordan Love, you're careless with the ball. You got six interceptions. And they don't say anything about Mahomes.
But it is
a little bit apples to oranges.
I feel like I'm hearing the opposite. I'm hearing people talking about Kansas City being undefeated, yet Mahomes having the worst statistical season of his career. I'm hearing everything from that to fantasy managers talking about benching him for the first time. I just had to throw that in there.
I have benched Kelsey, though. I have done that.
Yeah, my dad just did that recently. But with Jordan Love, I feel like all I hear about Jordan Love is positivity. And I'm not saying that as if there isn't a reason to be positive about him, but just I'm a little surprised because it feels like most of these athletes, they can't wait to tear him down as soon as they build him up. He hasn't also given a lot of ammunition to a lot of the talking heads out there. He's had one, two plays here and there this season that really have gone awry. Otherwise, you really can't argue. And even those plays, you can make an argument getting readjusted to the game of football. You know, one of the things that stands out to me in football, this Tampa Bay Baltimore game is such a good example of this. The first drive for an offense and a defense in a game is always the least example. It's almost like a separate game. It doesn't matter. These guys, no matter what point in the NFL season it is, they got to get used to the game. They got to get used to the speed.
Got to get used to getting hit.
Yeah.
You played hockey, right?
Yeah.
The worst hit of the whole game was the first one you took.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And the first hit or whatever you want to call it in a wrestling match that I took, the first hard contact was always the worst, and then I got used to it, and then they didn't do it again. But the thing is, you just got to get acclimated to it. You got a whole week between games, or 3 days in some case, 4 days in some cases.
Yeah,
you got to get used to it.
Kev, before I let you go, did you have anything else?
No, that was pretty much it. I was just kind of, like I said, I've been kind of with the cooler talk this week about the point differences and all that stuff, and then obviously was Robert Saleh. That's kind of, it's pretty good. I mean, I was reading the article this afternoon when it came out. It sounds like he's only going to work with the offense, even though he's defensive minded.
Yes, and that's exactly what I heard too, Kev. And you're absolutely right, and I like it because he's going to give the offensive coaches the idea of, if I was planning to play against you, this is what I'm looking at, so you might want to fix it.
That seems so, worth the money. Yeah. Kev, before I let you go, I got a couple stats of the show for everybody. This one involves our Big Ten. Indiana has allowed 0 points in the first quarter this season.
Yeah.
0 points. 0 points.
Indiana.
That's such a great stat. That's such a great stat. They're playing some good football. Thanks a lot for joining us, Kev. You have a good one.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Have a good one, buddy.
424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. It is kind of fun to see a team like Indiana at the top of the Big Ten. And doing so, not surprisingly, like they're playing great football in all facets of football right now.
It's not them just nickel and diming here. They are delivering good old-fashioned A&Ws.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they are doing. And that's, wow, I've been impressed the bit that I've watched them.
When we come back from break, I want to get right into high school sports action. But I want to get our stat of the show into right now. And I started there with the Indiana stat there that I thought was pretty wild. I don't necessarily have one stat for you here, but I do encourage you to go to NFL.com. And if you're looking up individual players, they have a really cool feature on there where you can look up different, you know, certainly their all-time stats, but also career stats, logs, splits, and situational. And do yourself a favor and look at Derrick Henry's fourth quarter stats. They're insane. His average yards per carry are 7.8 in the fourth quarter. In overtime, it only gets bigger. I don't know if he's the last great back like this we're going to have. It feels like we say that going back to Christian Okoye. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to see right now. It's fun to watch a guy like that play. But knowing that you are going to be in today, Michael, and we are, of course, getting ready for the World Series, our feature stat of the show involves Albert Pujols. Mr. Pujols has the record for tying the record for the game for most three home runs. Only one, a couple of individuals have done this in the World Series.
He did that against the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. I remember that was in old Arlington, the old stadium there, and I remember that because I was playing drums in a polka band up in Marshfield that night at the VFW.
Nice.
And they had that on as well as Badgers, Michigan State, and I believe that was the Hail Mary at the end of the game that Michigan State won on.
Nice. Oh, I remember that game now. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
that it was controversial
night.
And
what a night.
Rainy and just nasty.
Pujols finished his World Series career with 14 hits, 4 home runs, 8 RBIs, 12 runs scored in 16 games in his World Series career. Some pretty standout stats. As we're going to break, man, though, I was curious where Pujols stands for a lot of Cardinal fans. It's interesting to me where he goes off to California, goes off to Anaheim, goes off to Santa Cruz, San Diego. I'm not sure exactly where they play. He goes there, disappears, but has the opportunity to come back, and not just come back in kind of like a senior role or anything like that, like played pretty dang good. Like it was really fun to see for somebody who was a fan of his throughout his career, no matter where he played. I love seeing that for him, for yep. us as fans.
I agree.
But I haven't talked to a lot of Cardinal fans about this, and I know this is old. I don't care. I'm curious from you and the fan base of that, how you guys kind of look at him and everything, especially this time of year when you got to have World Series memories going through.
David Fries and back in that Game 6, arguably the greatest Game 6 to ever be played. There's a reason why a lot of people refer to him as El Hombre.
Mm.
And you remember, and what does that translate to?
Mm. Well, you got
Stan Musial, Stan the man.
Stan the man.
Albert Pujols, El Hombre, because some people wanted to call him the man. He says, no, that's Stan Musial.
Yeah.
That's not me. Okay, El Hombre. He's like, well, okay, I'll let it slide.
That works.
But I'm not the man. And I mean, you know what? Albert Pujols, I remember, and it wasn't even a World Series game, that moonshot that I think broke a window in Minute Maid Park in game five of a NLCS in 2005, I want to say, when when your White Sox, you know, they sold their soul and they got one. Mm. So
it was worth it. It's worth it. Oh, my God. My favorite baseball moments were that year I would say around that time. I got the opportunity to watch Mark Burley's perfect game.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably my favorite game I've ever seen just because of the randomness of it. It was a rainy day.
Oh, yeah.
It just happened to be on the TV. I was living in Illinois at the time. And
that's usually not a game that constitutes very good pitching performances.
Yeah, yeah. But the World Series run, those four games. games, I feel like I can remember every little aspect of those. It's something I'll never forget, especially right now when I'm having to start thinking about a Nashville White Sox and that kind of noise that's going on and everything right now because of Jerry Reinsdorf, one of the worst, if not the worst, owner in Chicago sports history. And that's really saying something.
Yeah, there's been some dandies in there.
There's been some bad ones. There's been some that have done some time. I mean, there's been some pretty bad ones. And I will maybe die on this hill that Jerry Reinsdorf's in. This is a guy who's brought championships to the state, to the city as well.
I mean, was Pritzker an owner of anything?
We'll go ahead and take our first time out of the show. We'll be back with more show Playmakers here on WFHR, proudly brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Temperatures are falling. The dew is cold and crisp, and your breath is hanging in the air. It's time to dress in our favorite Wisconsin attire. It's hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, sports workout gear, and more. Don't let today's style wear you. Call Wham Incorporated today. 715-423-9465. Be bold, be you, and be confident. Wham Incorporated. 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 715-423-9465.
Here is a list of upcoming Halloween events in the central Wisconsin area. WRCT presents The Silver Foxes in Let the Spirit Move You, October 24th at 2 p.m., October 25th at 6 p.m., and October 26th at 2 p.m. at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, 220 3rd Avenue South. Halloween at the Y on Friday, October 25th from 5:30 to 8 p.m., a free event with donation of non-perishable food item. The Historic Point Boss Spirit Walk is Saturday, October 26th from 6 to 8 p.m., located on Wakely Road just off Highway Z south of Nakusa. There's a kids' Halloween party in the Rome Town Center on Saturday, October 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. St. Luke's Lutheran Church will be having a trunk or treat on Sunday, October 27th from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. at 2011 10th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. And there's a trunk or treat event in Port Edwards on Sunday, October 27th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Port Edwards Municipal Building, 201 Market Avenue. From everyone at WFHR and WIRI, wishing you a safe and happy Halloween.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. It's Wisconsin and Penn State at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, low 30s. Clouds return tomorrow, high to the mid-60s. In the late afternoon and evening, showers and storms around. Sunny and upper 50s Friday and Saturday. Highs warm to the low 60s Sunday, mostly sunny. It's 55 right now.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James hanging out with you this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Always looking forward to talking with all of y'all out there. We're getting to our schedule a little bit later. Want to remember a Major League Baseball great. We'll take a moment to do that in a little bit. Plenty more to talk about, but let's dive right into high school football. We got playoffs, Michael.
Playoffs? You talking about playoffs?
Man, I knew if I set you up. I do it. Oh, I love this. We got two of our local teams in action this season. That's exciting. Let's just go ahead and take a moment to appreciate that, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, every team works hard, and everything that goes along with that. But, I mean, let's give a tip of the cap to Port York conference champion, yes. Port Edwards Blackhawks. Yes. Yes. First time in 5 years. And you know what? Huge tip of the cap to the Nakusa Papermakers as well. They came up a little shy in their quest for a conference title. Mm-hmm. They actually took third in the league. But that's their best record that they've had in years. I'd have to go back and count that up. Yeah. But it might have even been... I mean, they made the playoffs several times in this time, but it might be their best record since, I want to say, maybe Coach Baker was a papermaker.
That's a while ago. Yeah.
And so I'm very happy for both those schools. And even though they didn't make the playoffs, how about a huge round of applause for those cardiac attack Raiders and Royals really gave Randy and I some of the most entertaining games ever. And it's like I said last Friday when I called in. Man, I thought week two when the Papermakers had that 99-yard pick six walk off against Westfield. I said, well, good luck topping that. Yeah. Well, not so fast, my friend. Whereas the Royals got it done with a safety, and the Raiders got it done with a touchdown pass. That's 11 seconds to go. You can't beat that. And then, of course, McManus with that 44-yard field goal that I was able to watch in Green Bay. Hey, I know I got to take better care of my heart, but this didn't help.
No. It was a fun game, and a lot you can take from that game too, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. But let's do this high school stuff here.
Number five, Nakusa at number four, Abbotsford is the first playoff game we have for you. We'll be covering that game for you. Before we get to that, though, Michael, I do want to talk about on the other side in Division One. Division One.
Division One. Yes,
yeah. We got number four, Port Edwards, taking on number one, Owen Withy.
Well, that's an eight-player.
Eight-player, I'm sorry.
Yep. No problem. I know what you're getting at.
But that one's an interesting matchup right there. You're going up against a number one. What can you tell us about that game?
Owen Withy's been one of the top-ranked teams in the state. So Port, unfortunately, got a very, very tough draw. And I'll be honest with you, both teams got very tough draws. Mm-hmm. Owen Withy is tough. If you look at enrollments, Owen Withy's about four times bigger than Port Edwards is in terms of enrollment. They've got a bigger student body to pull from. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to be a little deeper than Port. And I know Port's a little banged up right now, but never count out the Blackhawks. Well, the Blackhawks, especially seen as they're both Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So what, the Blackhawks are going to win this game. Well, definitely. Which one, Mike? You genius. But
that's a good way to get hedge your bets.
Hey, we're comes full circle talking bets. But I do think it's going to be a tough one for the Port Blackhawks to come away from. But I'm not selling them short by any means. But it's going to be tough. And, man, they're going to have to play perfect, and they're going to have to be healthy.
Either way, excited for these kids, especially these seniors getting an extra game. That's always exciting. And hey, as long as you get invited to the dance, you never know what can happen. You never know who you can go home with. Yep. We, of course, then got Nakusa at Abbotsford, number five, taking on number four. We're going to have that game for you right over on our sister station, WIRI. We're looking forward to being able to have that. Just playoff high school football on the radio is always great. This one kicks off at 6:50, our pregame. What are you looking forward to about this game, Michael? What can you tell us about it?
Well, this one, I haven't done a lot of homework yet, but it's what I've paid attention to throughout the season. For Nakusa, and this is one that I talked to Coach Baker and a couple other Nakusa individuals about, it goes to show how important that Dells game was to win. And they were leading, I believe it was... Man, what was it? It was 16-6 at the half,
was it?
And it was 16-12 at going into the fourth quarter, and then it ended 26-16. So it was a very quiet offensive second half for the Papermakers, and that probably cost them a four seed. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, Abbotsford, they had a heck of a season coming out of that CWC small where Edgar won it, then Auburndale, then Abbotsford, then I believe Iola Scandinavia was after that. You know, they are tough. They are physical. They've got speed. They're going to be, I believe, a little more ground-oriented, which maybe plays into Nakusa's playbook. Nakusa has been playing, they are the smallest school in the South Central Conference, mm-hmm. so they've been playing against bigger schools, bigger enrollments, more bodies out on that field. So that's a benefit for Nakusa.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe the South Central Conference, even though they are bigger division schools, mostly D4 and D5, I do not believe It is nearly the grinder that the CWC Small is with Abbotsford, with Edgar, with all these other teams. And no disrespect to Nakusa by any means. I think they're a very fine and good team. I don't know how they'd face or handle things with Edgar. Talking with Coach Russell a couple weeks ago when I mentioned on air, I was talking to him. He said, I don't think we want to see Auburndale. And so it's, you know, Coach Russell's very honest about that. And you got to give a lot of respect to what Auburndale's doing and Abbotsford. And Auburndale beat the snot out of Abbotsford earlier in the year. So you just got to show up and play. Yeah. And I do believe Nakusa can win. Will they? I don't know.
I like their chances. They got more than a puncher's chance, I think.
Right.
But you're 100% right about this. And I think going into it again, enjoying the fact that we get this extra game, we can't lose if you just take it and you approach it that way. Of course, we want to win. But you know, going into it and looking at it that way, I think you can't lose. And we get an extra game on the radio. Looking forward to that. I don't know what you, if you are looking forward to, is the long Saturday you are about to have. Because not only do you have high school football, or Friday into Saturday, I should say. Because not only do you have high school football, but of course, Saturday, Sunday, you are going to be covering River Kings hockey.
Yes, I'm actually really looking forward to that. And Sunday, you know, that's a hell of it. Is the USPHL and the River Kings did not consult with me about that schedule because Green Bay plays at noon as well.
That's on me. I meant to mention that to Coach. You got to reach out to Michael on that noon start time.
Next time, never do a Sunday at noon. Never.
No, never. Never.
Never. But I'm looking forward to it. I followed what they've done so far this year. They're sitting, what, about 6-4-1, I believe?
They
went 2-2 out in Joyzey.
Nice.
They played some very, very tough competition. It's nice for them to come home, face a rival,
yes,
a big rival, and a rival that you can theoretically bury them early. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel about Hudson like I do the Madison Mallards. You know, if I'm taking it as a fan, I look at Hudson like that. I look at the Minnesota Blue Ox like I look at the Woodchucks.
Agreed.
100%. I respect them. But I don't like them.
I respect the Woodchucks a little bit more now that they're back to being the Wausau Wisconsin Woodchucks or whatever they were trying to pull off.
Well, what that was homage. That was paying homage to when they were the only Wisconsin team in the Northwoods League.
Don't care. I get it.
Yeah, I know.
I love when they do it. This is just one of my little things to be able to rib them with. I completely get it. It's actually kind of cool what they did, but I still rib them.
I've got plenty of jokes about them, but I can't say on air, but that's all right.
Right on. Again, you've got Port Edwards taking on Owen Withy this Friday at 7 o'clock. And the game we will be covering, Nakusa at Abbotsford, 7 o'clock. Our pregame will start at 6:50 on 105.5 WIRI. Looking forward to that. And River Kings hockey this weekend, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So excited to have the Kings back home. Help the boys of winter build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Get your tickets. We'll meet you there. Let's make sure to show these opposing teams all season long when home ice advantages.
Well, there's going to be a big, loud bunch of it on Sunday from what a little bird told me.
Nice. And keep in mind, everybody, every home game of the River Kings will be over on 105.5 this whole season. Looking forward to that as we build our relationship with the River Kings up and down the river. I appreciate that and appreciate Coach and the staff over there at the River Kings. And you, Michael, stepping up, I think, and being a set announcer for that team. It's not only good to have a voice for that team and for our listeners, but somebody that really knows what they're doing. I'm excited about that.
Well, I don't claim to really know what I'm doing. I'm kind of like a dog that caught his first car. It's now what do I do with it? But I'm very relatively new to this broadcasting thing that I'm learning all the way along. And I mean, I'm upfront with it that I'm still trying to learn some of that roster, so it's a little more free flowing. And I'm going to have a stat sheet there so I can add or subtract goals and stuff like that. But it's I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having a lot of fun with it. I'm looking forward to watching a lot of good old puck being played. And hopefully a lot of Chelsea Dagger. Hopefully a lot of good times in that River Kings pep band that's may or may not be there Sunday.
Oh, nice, nice. River Kings action for you this weekend, everybody. Saturday, we will have the Kings on our sister station, WIRI, 7 o'clock start time and noon start time on Sunday. Looking forward to that as we build hockey up and down the river with our Kings. Going to be great action tonight. I'm just excited to be able to talk hockey. Before we go to break, I did want to take a note as we lead into World Series talk, Michael. I wanted to take a note to mention Fernando Valenzuela and the passing of one of the greatest, personalities and players. While he didn't have necessarily the career that a lot of people would have liked him to see, much like Dwight Gooden, not the legacy, the Steve Carlton legacy of career, or some of those guys that we thought these guys might be. Still, I don't know if you could tell the story of baseball without mentioning these names. And Fernando certainly is one of those. The last guy to, and maybe the only guy who will ever win an NL Cy Young and Rookie of the Year, or NL Cy Young and MVP, winning those in the same year, those kind of things. You don't get to see this stuff very often. Happened at the tail end of, I was born, right before his career even got started, so I certainly don't know Fernando Valenzuela.
Right, and I don't either, per se, but.
Gotten to see a lot of his highlights, a very unique pitching style. So it was really fun to watch some of his highlights and everything, but guys like him, when you are raised in a sports family and around sports and everything, these guys become so big because I didn't see them play, but I remember my dad and my papa talking about him and talking about how great of an athlete he was and how much fun he was to watch, even when he wasn't on your team or going against your team or something like that.
Yeah, I remember my grandpa talking about Lou Applin. And he actually, I forget how it was, but my grandpa knew him, met him several times when he went down to visit his brother down in Chicago before he got shipped off and eventually killed in World War II. But I remember my grandpa talking about him a lot. So, I mean, I can understand that these are names that you're told about, and then you look them up and, oh, wow.
Heck of a player. I go back and I watch Roberto Clemente all the time right before the baseball season starts, because in my house that was the guy. That's the top of the. My dad will tell you that it's Hank Aaron or Willie Mays as far as his favorite player. My papa, it's Roberto Clemente. So for my dad, for me, that's our guy.
Right.
He handed him down to us and everything. But I never saw him play, of course. It's always interesting, these guys, and I'm not saying we romanticize this or anything, but it's part of what we love about sports, these people that pave the way. And it's noteworthy to be able to especially when, I'm sorry, but way too young for a guy like Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, 63,
that's,
I believe,
way too young.
Yeah, it is.
It's a shame, and noteworthy, I think, as we do a sports show here. We should mention these things. I'll also get a chance, just watch some of his highlights. If for anything else, that pitching style. I don't know if I've ever seen to this day a pitcher that has to look at the ball before he throws it, like Fernando did. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, if he was actually looking at the ball or just that was where he looked, but it looked like he had to see, okay, ball there, yeah, good, just go.
But the mic's there.
right, a fun kind of thing to be able to look at too when it comes to looking back at these players. And another one that I thought was an interesting question that I just happened to be thinking about, but not from because of the World Series, but watching the WNBA Finals and watching some of that. And that series, for those that didn't know, wrapped up this week. New York Liberty won their first title. Congratulations to them. Don't hold your heads down, Minnesota. You deserve. I think Minnesota may have deserved that title. You can make the argument. But what they do in there is a best 3 of 5 series, where we have a little bit of that in our playoffs in on the other side of that bracket, but it's mostly a best 4 out of 7. That's most series, and obviously anybody will tell you as a sports fan the two best words in sports are Game 7.
I was going to say Super Bowl, but
yeah, that's not bad. It's close. there's no reason that it couldn't be Game 5 as the two best words. And I'm curious what people, where you and the audience stands on this one. I asked this Mike on Monday and wanted people to hear. I wanted to hear from them today about it because I'm curious where you guys stand on this. Now let's all keep in mind as adults, they'll never go to less games. That's less money.
Right.
CC, what we were talking about earlier, the answers to all your questions is money. But I do find it interesting format, and I kind of find – winning three as opposed to four to be a little more exciting.
Less room to move, less wiggle room, you know, less margin for error.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off on that.
No,
but,
go for it.
But I prescribe to the idea that sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
And the other part is, too, and I'll draw the line to, I remember talking with the game warden about how certain highways and roads decided what zones were what for deer hunting. Mm. So, like, for an example, we go down 8th Street, Goodwill, our Goodwill store, does good things, mm-hmm. hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
It is central farmland zone. Mm-hmm. Johnny's Bar, across the street, that's central forest.
Hmm.
Two totally different entities for harvest registration,
yeah,
harvest guidelines for everything. And you don't mean to tell me that those deer don't cross that line.
Right.
But like the warden said, I said, why is this? Why don't you just follow the county lines? He said, well, it's a good point, and I tend to agree with you, but you got to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it is. And at some point, will the WNBA go to a best of seven? Will they? Probably.
Yeah.
I think they've got a lot more to figure out because, they make money, but they still don't make NBA money.
Yeah.
They don't make NFL money, MLB, NHL. So, I mean, there's, and even college in some regard. Their viewership is good and it's better, but it's still below those marks, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. And I am by no means running down women's athletics. I am one of the biggest supporters of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching the Women's World Cup soccer.
Yeah,
I love watching the women's volleyball and the basketball and the Olympics. Man. But they're, and you can see this as a hockey man, they're not the same sports.
Yeah.
The equivalent. I mean, women's hockey, you can't check. Well, there goes a lot of the fun in hockey. Now, are those young ladies out there probably better skill at some regards? Yep, because that's a bigger part of their game.
I love women's volleyball. That's so much fun to watch. I'm a big fan of women's athletics, too. I hear you. We got to get to break. I want to keep this question going to the audience, though, and feel free to call up everybody. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Call up. Join the conversation here at Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Temperatures are falling. The dew is cold and crisp, and your breath is hanging in the air. It's time to dress in our favorite Wisconsin attire. It's hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, sports workout gear, and more. Don't let today's style wear you. Call Wham Incorporated today. 715-423-9465. Be bold, be you, and be confident. Wham Incorporated. 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 715-423-9465.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
It was a Christmas snowstorm. My whole leg swelled up. My doctor said to get to the ER immediately. Surgery went well, but then I got billed. I struggled with the VA bureaucracy for months. Then I called Tom Tiffany. 9 days later, the VA paid my bill. The doctor saved my leg, Tom saved me from medical debt, and he got me my veteran benefits when no one else could.
Paid for by Tiffany for Wisconsin.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Civic Media's Todd Alba, who will get a Nightlight birthday surprise. And you won't want to miss up-and-coming musician DeAndre Marie, who performs in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, low 30s. Clouds return tomorrow, high to the mid-60s. In the late afternoon and evening, showers and storms around. Sunny and upper 50s Friday and Saturday. Highs warm to the low 60s Sunday, mostly sunny. It's 55 right now.
Welcome back, everybody. WFHR's Playmakers. Hope you're having a great afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. Mike and I are going to take you over the next 5 minutes, talk a little World Series, maybe some NFL trade deadline. World Series kicking off on Friday. Exciting. I understand, too, big empires and everything and big markets and not necessarily taking care of a lot of the in-between. That being said, I'm excited. I'm excited for this, man. I just like seeing, I'm not even focused on the team. This is one of those few times where I expect the players to play a certain way, but as a fan, I'm paying attention to the name on the back of the jersey. I don't really care about the name on the front. I just want to see this history. I just
Judge
want to see
Ohtani,
great plays.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see these great athletes step up and do great things in the biggest moments of their careers. I want to see what, hey, Ohtani, you got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. Let's see you step up. Let's see you do what you do. Same thing with Judd. So Juan Soto has been one of the funnest World Series athletes we've seen going back to his time with the Nationals.
Yep.
Who's a good pitcher in this series? I don't know.
Flaherty's all right.
Garrett Cole's okay. The other kid that they got there in Dodgers is all right. But there's, with the idea that going into the World Series where there is no true necessarily ace, we're scraping the barrel for it in a Garrett Cole or something, that could be very exciting for scoring and everything. And I don't know that I hear anybody really talk about this, but and maybe this is just the baseball nerd in me. I love good defense in the World Series, and I'm curious to see who has the better defense when it comes to that, too. So there's a lot of exciting things to talk about. I'm sure we'll be getting into it on Monday, talking a little bit of what's been happening in the World Series. But did you have something there?
Because I was just going to say, this is that's an interesting World Series. I mean, I just read a part of an article today where the Yankees are saying, "Hey, you talk about us in the middle of a World Series drought." No, if it wasn't for the Astros cheating, we wouldn't be. So, I mean, they got something to prove.
Brian Cashman will not ever let that go. His last words on his deathbed will be, Houston cheated.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And is he wrong?
I don't blame him. No, yeah, absolutely. If I'm a Houston fan, I'm not wearing that one. I'm not proud of that one. I'm a White Sox fan. I'm not proud of the White Sox, the Black Sox. I'm not proud of that.
Right.
There's line in the sand like you were talking about before. Last couple of minutes we have, I do want to note the NFL trade deadline, and certainly most of you have seen the moves that have already happened with wide receivers going around and everything, but you said that you heard some rumors out there about some...
Yep, I've heard that the Jets are actually looking at moving Davante Adams before this coming game so he can lose to the Steelers 3 weeks in a row, so he's going to go to the Giants.
I think that storyline alone, please, do it, New York, do it.
And then the other thing is the Packers and the Jets are actually getting a trade. The Jets actually want Lambeau Field now.
I don't blame them. And, I would say a couple first-rounders, and I'd think about it. I'm not doing it, but I think I'd just at least hear them out.
They heard how the city of Green Bay is kind of sticking it to the Packers right now, but what can you do with that, Mayor? But
looking ahead here at you're seeing a lot of teams that are looking at getting rid of some places.
Oh yeah,
Arizona and Buda Baker is an interesting piece that could really help out a team. There's a handful of receivers still out there that could be out there. The Bears are looking at maybe moving Khalil Herbert at running back, and I think that he's a nice piece. He's not a starter or anything like that, but I think that he could make some moves for some people, some players.
Bears, I would think maybe look at offensive linemen if you can get someone.
Yeah, I don't think that the Bears are going to be buyers by any means. I think that they'll probably try maybe sell off a piece or two because they're still rebuilding. But I think that it's when it looks at you look at teams like that, like the Raiders, they're asking for King Solomon's gold for Max Crosby, so I don't know if they'll get it. But that could be wild if somebody makes a move for him. It's just where worth talking about because for years this wasn't a conversation. Oh, NFL trade deadline. Oh, big deal. That never happened. You know, maybe every once in a while two backups got traded or something like that, but you never saw anything. It's a new day here with this where and I'm curious. I would love to be able to get some of these executives and, hey, is the NFL pushing this? Are they pushing you guys to make trades? Because it seems a little bit odd that where the only thing the NFL didn't really have was basketball and baseball had the trade deadline.
Right.
And that was huge. Still is. The NFL didn't have that for years. Now all of a sudden they have that? Like, and as they continue to try to like poach things from other sports?
Well,
hey, NBA, you don't get Christmas anymore. That's ours.
Well, what you're saying there is absolutely true because we saw how they pressured the teams to draft Michael Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a very good football player? Not really, but why did they push him? Well, to make a statement.
Storyline.
So that's exactly what it is.
I don't know. I don't think it was a statement as much as just talk. Just storylines.
Yeah.
Just talk. I don't think the NFL has it. It's no different than, and the NFL ain't trying to end racism. They're trying to get people to talk about them.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, although the last I checked, racism's still a thing. Unfortunately, it still is. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Everybody, check out the newsletter. Michael's new